Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and
I'm here with Chauncey Smith, and we're talking about his recent book, So That's Who I Am.
Yes.
And it's the story of his adoption.
So That's Who I Am.
And
two families, one story.
Two families, one story. So maybe just set the stage.
Well, it's the book is about adoption. And it's also about blended families. And basically, to start with, you know, those are choices that weren't ours.
That's
you
right.
They weren't our choices. So, and the truth of the matter is, the first thing being adopted, the first thing that we inherit, it's proven. There was a lot of research that was put in the book. Abandonment is the very first thing.
Yes.
That we, you know, we weren't. My mom later, when I did find her and met her, she had told me that she never saw me and she never touched me because she knew if she saw me or touched me, she wouldn't be able to give me up.
Yes.
And to me, that's love. A lot of therapists and stuff have said, you know, there should be anger, there should be. But for me, it wasn't. I was raised in a Christian home. I never thought, I always knew I was adopted. My parents always told me that and that they'd be willing to help me find my family if I needed to or wanted to. They always felt that there may be a part of my puzzle that would be missing. And so they wanted to do that. I never really thought about it. I was so happy and blessed. I really never thought about it. A friend of mine was going through a divorce, and she asked if she could help find my biological family. She wanted to something to do, kind of a thing. And I said, well, sure. And she did. She actually found them. And it wasn't until I met them and that I realized the issues that I really did have. People used to always say, you know, you can bury that. And I used to think, how can somebody bury something? I never really understood it. But I did bury a lot of stuff. You know, growing up, I remembered everything that not looking like my cousins. Not, you know, my parents adopted me. A few years later, they adopted my sister. And a few years later, they had my brother. And so I went, there was a lot of, I remember everybody saying how much my brother looks like my dad and how much my brother looks like my mom. But it wasn't until years later that I remembered all those details, you know. And there was teasing in school at times when people knew that those aren't your real parents. Or you were found in a dumpster. Or kids can be cruel in school. So the journey of finding who I am has been an incredible journey. And I encourage people it's important to have closure, even if it's good or bad. And in the book, we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I did find she found my biological mom. We've met, we're very close. My mothers have met. I was able to, and I'll talk more about this later, I was able, and that was a very accepting, wonderful story. It still is to this day. I also, my biological mom told me about where she didn't marry the guy. She was 21 and he was abusive. He was a drinker and a smoker, and he actually physically abused her when she was pregnant with me. So she came out, she flew from Ohio out to California and stayed with her aunt and had me, and then returned the guy that she was dating at the time came out to California, and they drove back and they married that week. A week later, they got married and they had four daughters. So I have four half sisters. I don't even like to use the word half. That's one of the things about it. I think that's one of the things that I wish people wouldn't do. Like, they'll say, these are my half or my step. Well, they're my sisters.
Yeah.
You know? And when you're a child and you hear the words, well, this is my, I had them, mm-hmm. and I adopted this one.
Yeah.
Or I had three, but I couldn't have any more. So they put that little stigma on them. What they should say is, you know, I have three kids. I don't even remember which one's adopted.
Yeah.
That's better to hear than that you're different,
mm-hmm.
or you're a step.
Yes.
Or a half.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one's a half.
That's right.
No one's a half.
That's right.
And so, I'm sorry, you asked me a question, and I'll just keep talking. I'll wait for you to maybe ask me more questions. But I'm very excited about the book, So That's Who I Am, and Teach Services, a wonderful organization that has published the book. It's also available on Amazon. And it's exciting. My whole career, I work for Faith for Today Television. They have a talk show called Lifestyle Magazine that's syndicated all over the world. And my job for the over 20 years has been booking celebrities and guests and so forth on that show. But now that I have this book, I have to promote me. And it's yes. it's hard to promote me.
Yes.
You know, it's easier when you're doing somebody else. But the response that I've been getting, I mean, there's so many adopted people yeah. out there and so many blended families. And knowing that, you know, when you give God the glory,
mm-hmm.
it's people have come back saying that I really needed to hear this, or I really needed to.
Yes.
There's a lot of facts in there, a lot of stuff in there that, in research, that happens to people when they're a blended family or when they're
yeah.
adopted.
Well, I have a question. So we know that research tells us these mirror neurons between the mother and the child, when those are broken, it's often referred to as a primal wound. And yet you said that you didn't feel bad about having been adopted, and at the same time you did have this longing, you know, wanting to find something that you didn't have. So what advice would you give to parents who have adopted children and they want to correct in a way that primal wound, that separation? What would you suggest, or how did you overcome that?
I don't think they can prevent. I'll give you two examples. One was, for me, I was, like I said, I was raised in a Christian home. But from when I was about 12, I wanted to smoke. I've always wanted to smoke cigarettes. Well, my family didn't smoke. None of my friends smoked. No one from church. Nobody around me smoked. But I wanted to smoke, and I started smoking. At a very young age. And even working for the church, I would hide it, of course, because, you know, I'd be fired.
That's right.
And so I hid it. Now, my parents knew. But I couldn't shake that. I could not shake that. I did finally. Thank you, Jesus, because it's a nasty habit. And it's horrible to try to... But come to find out, when I met my biological mom, she smoked when she was pregnant with me. Because back then, they
mm-hmm.
did. And then it made sense. I that's why
yes.
I wanted to. That's why I wanted to smoke.
Yes,
it's because I had no choice.
And now we understand DNA a little bit. We know that the experiences of our parents' DNA is passed on to us.
Yeah, yeah. Another example of, and it's in the book. My sister, like I told you, my sister was adopted a few years after me. My sister was in a foster home first for a while. My sister was named. They named her Simone. And after my wonderful story and everything else, I wanted to help my sister. And hopefully she'd have the same outcome. So the same friend, Bina, who helped me, helped my sister. And sure enough, we found my sister's biological mother.
Now, this is a sister that was also adopted by
yes.
your adoptive family?
Yes.
Okay.
They adopted me. A few years later, they adopted my sister. And then they had my brother, Barry. So for my sister... We knew my friend Bina found where this woman lived, and I went to her house. It was a couple hours drive from where I live, and I went to this grocery store and I got a balloon, and my sister had written her a letter, a real nice letter, and she addressed the letter to Suzanne, which was her name, from Simone, which was the name that she had given my sister, And I was pretending to be like a delivery person. So I knocked on the door, and I didn't know if this woman, you know, after 30
yes.
some years, that she's going to see Simone. But she had no expression. I handed her the stuff. She said, thank you, and shut the door. So a couple of months later, my sister received a letter from her. And my sister had a horrible fear. There was quite a few years where she couldn't even sleep alone. She was very, she had, even before she knew what the word rape was, she anything on TV or anything like that. And we, again, our family kept thinking, well, where is this coming from? I mean, a young girl shouldn't even know the word rape. But she would sleep with, you know, in my room and my brother's room, and she was always afraid. Years later, she said, there's something about the word rape that just, you know, well, come to find out. When she got that letter, her mom was raped at knife point and got pregnant with my sister.
Oh, wow.
And gave her up for adoption. I don't think you can help it. I think when a mother gives up a child, I think you are forever, and I don't want to say scarred because that makes it look bad, but you are different.
Yes.
You are different.
It has an impact on your life.
It absolutely has an impact on your life. And now some, you know, so many people that I don't care, I don't want to look. I really encourage people to, and if you don't want to do it, have your best friend or your spouse or have somebody do it. Get a picture. Get something. A voice. Years later, I went back to that, to my sister's, to that woman's house. And I used to, because I would go to Las Vegas often, and she lived on the way to Las Vegas. And so anytime I went, I would just drive by with my camera, just in hopes she'd be outside or something. Well, one time, there was a couple women outside. And I pulled up, and I could overhear that they were going grocery shopping. So I waited in the car, and I followed them to the grocery store. And as soon as I found out where the grocery store was, I went ahead of them so they wouldn't think, you know,
yeah.
I didn't want them to think that I was following them. Well, when they went in the store, I got a cart, and I followed them up this aisle, down that aisle, kept putting things in my cart, but my phone... my camera looked like a cell phone. So anytime they'd kind of look at me or something, I'd pretend to talk on the phone. Oh, you said tomatoes or potatoes, or you know,
yeah.
I made up some kind of an excuse. But I was able to get footage of her walking around the store that I could share with my sister. And that was enough for her. She now could see and hear what her mom looks and talks.
Yeah.
And so for her, that was enough. She's just thrilled to have it. So I think closure is important,
yeah.
But I think it's different for everybody,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about the rest of the story.
Okay.
Poppy, when are we going to get through this jungle?
Don't. No.
Poppy, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, Poppy, let me see.
The strap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Chauncey Smith about his book, So That's Who I Am, Two Families, One Story. And it has a really neat foreword in it, too, by Grammy Award-winning artist Sandy Patty, because she's been involved with adoption quite a bit as well. And I wondered if you'd just tell us about that first meeting.
I would love to. It's an out-of-body, you can't, you know, I always tell people, you know, we know what it's like to, God forbid, a death or a wedding or a reunion. We, we see that, we know what that feels like. What we don't know is to see somebody that looks and sounds and talks like, for the first time in my life, to see somebody after 35 years in the mirror.
Yes.
And I flew, I flew to Ohio, and once my friend made the contact, and it's very interesting. In the book, there's the chapters are broken out. My biological mom wrote a chapter.
Okay.
My adopted mom wrote a chapter about like what they went through, how they dealt with everything. My friend that did the process of finding them, she documented everything. She wrote a chapter because it's really important on how you do it.
That's right.
You know, because they have a right to their privacy.
Yeah.
But you also have you as an adult have a right to know.
Yeah.
You know, especially medical reasons. You know, you have that right. I encourage people to do. I'm so glad I did it in my 30s. I would never have handled it well as a teenager. I encourage people to wait because it's an experience you can't describe. But flying to Ohio, and when I stepped, I just prayed. I said, Lord, please, you know, just push me off, push me.
So you were so nervous, you didn't want to get off the plane.
Oh, I didn't even want to get off the plane.
Wow.
And what had happened was I was probably jittery, you know, who knows, but the lady next to me says, are you okay? And I told her the story, and she started to cry on the plane. And I said, would you mind videotaping this for me? I mean, so she went behind me and video. So I had everything documented, and she had since like texted her friends and family for. So when I got off the plane, there was a handful of people kind of applauding because they kind of knew knew the story. And I saw her. I looked, and there was my biological mom.
And you knew right away it was her.
Oh, right away. We look a lot alike, and I look a lot like two out of my four sisters. And it's weird because her name is Loretta. And for the longest time, I mean, to me, mom is mom.
Yeah.
Mom's favorite. You know, it's not hard to get pregnant. What's hard is to raise a child for 40 years.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what to call her. It didn't feel right to call her Loretta, and it certainly didn't feel right to call her mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I just came up with bio mom. And she liked that. So for a year or two, she was my bio mom. And I tell you what, another thing that's kind of strange is my mom, who raised me, Marilyn, she sent her Mother's Day cards. Once they would send each other Mother's Day cards. And they became friends. My mom was not threatened at all. It was all love. She wanted me so badly to meet my biological mom. What is strange, though, is when I'm with my biological mom, I have no problem saying mom. Meaning my mom, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm not confusing your listeners. But I mean, I just, but when I was with my mom who raised me, I always called either Loretta or bio mom. I couldn't say mom in front of mom. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the loyalty was strong.
It was just, she wouldn't have cared. She wouldn't have cared, but I just, that was my mom.
Yeah.
And now, there's stuff in the book. You got to see what's happened, you know, I don't want to give it away. I want people to order it.
Well, so you came down and you saw your mom. Did you hug her right away?
Yes. I gave her a hug right away. She cried. I cried. Two out of my four sisters were there at the airport. We got in the car and we drove to another sister's home. When I got there, they had made a big banner.
Oh, cool.
And it was hanging outside the house that says, Welcome, Chauncey. And there was my other two sisters and all my nieces and nephews.
Wow.
And it was just incredible.
Did you have to come to terms that you had been left out of this family?
There are so many things that... There was one experience. It was the next day. My mom had given me a bunch of pictures to take with me. And I brought some photo albums with me. And, of course, they had photo albums. And it is hard. Because we were looking at stuff together. And there was one moment where... I mean, there was lots of tears. But there was one moment when she was sobbing. Just sobbing. And I said... Of course, my first reaction is, oh, she's having second thoughts. She wants me to leave.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You know, my first reaction, you know,
unfortunately,
she's regretting this, mm-hmm. this stuff. Well, it wasn't. I said, what's the matter? I didn't call her mom at that time. I said, what's the matter? And she says, I wasn't there for that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there for that. And she was looking at my 10th birthday.
Yes.
And it was very overwhelming.
Yes.
And it was very hard for me. When I would look through photo albums, too, that I wasn't, you know.
Yes.
And what's kind of humorous in a way is, you know, my sisters had all their friends and family. All of a sudden, they have a brother.
Yeah.
You know, so they would show people some pictures and stuff, and they'd say, well, who's that? That's my brother. What do you mean your brother? I've known you for 30 years. Yeah, I didn't know you had a brother.
Yeah.
But it's really turned out very, very well. On my dad's side, my biological dad, it is not. So I was rejected again, and it's in the book. Their family did not. I have a brother and two sisters from him. He was kind of accepting with it, but his wife was not. Mm. And my friend, same friend, called in just to see, and they said, you know, in the chapter that Bina wrote, it really is, it explains people how to approach people.
Yes.
And that's very important. Yes. And she was great with them. And basically she was saying, you know, he doesn't need money. He doesn't want anything. Maybe just a picture. Can he just have a picture? And no.
Mm.
And their kids were in their 30s, so it wasn't like I was asking for, you know. But so I want people to know that. I mean, yes, I had a wonderful thing, but I was also rejected again.
Yes. So you had both experiences.
I had both experiences, yeah.
Adoptees really need to be in a good psychological place because when they go to look for their birth parents, they might be rejected, and they have to be up to that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the possibility of being rejected again, and it's hard. It's really, you know, you think, why can't, especially as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, I would think, why do they care that their kids know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not teenagers. They're adults.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, but I have to respect it. That's the whole thing, is you can't be. But in the book, you'll see how I did. I actually crashed a wedding, my sister's wedding, and attended. And you'll see more of that in the book, where I actually have some photos. I have that closure, even though they didn't know I was there.
They didn't know you were there? They never knew you were there? Well,
they did. They did know later.
Yeah.
And there's a book now. So, but I was respectful. I didn't want to ruin her wedding. But it was very scary. But also, I felt like I needed that closure. I needed to see what my dad looked like. I needed to
now,
see
Now, do you look at all like your dad?
Not as much, no.
You look more like your mom.
It's definitely my mom. Yeah. And when people see the book, the picture from the airport is in the book.
Okay.
And it's the very first second I met her. That picture is in the book.
Yes, well, we're talking with Chauncey Smith about his book, So That's Who I Am, Two Families, One Story. You need to go to Amazon.com and get it.
Yes, please.
Or you can go to Teach Services. They published it for you.
They did. And I, the wonderful Sandy Patty, you know, she wrote the foreword for me. And in the book, too, I worked on General Hospital, the soap opera.
Uh-huh.
And one of the actresses from General Hospital has wrote me a nice review, and Max and Val Mace from the singing group, the Heritage Singers.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people have gotten behind me and helped me support this, because everybody knows somebody that's adopted or from a blended family. And one of the things I say is blended families are awesome.
That's right. We've come to the end.
Oh, we did.
Do you have a word of encouragement for that listener who may have been adopted, but is trying to get up the courage to find their biological parents? What would that be?
I do. And it is, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Say a prayer.
Yeah.
And step forward.
Step forward.
Yeah. And if you can't do it, and I understand that, have a loved one or something, because you'll be healed. Yeah.
Well, that concludes our show. Thank you so much, Chauncey.
Oh, thank you.
For sharing this with us. And I have one last thing to say, and that's God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.